Well, look who's back. Yep, it's me. I'm back again. I know I've always said that this will be an as and when podcast, as and when I get the time to record or have something interesting to talk about, but this time it's been a while and it really has been a case of I haven't had the time. Really, haven't really had that much interesting to talk about either, but it's been a time thing. So you might know that up until September time, I was studying for my master's degree, which I can say I have finished and passed. I am now a master of photography, which doesn't mean shit, to be honest. The jobs haven't come rolling in. So yes, I am now a master of photography and I can get that one back under my belt. So that's all done. Literally as soon as I finished that, the opportunity came up to move house. So they spent the next, fortunately we had a little bit of time to get our old house packed up, get everything packed up and have the new house, which we are in now, at the same time. So a lot of money spent on two houses, but hey, less said about that the better. But I'm in and I'm back and I'm pretty much ready to record a show. So what else has been happening? Yeah, got myself a new job as well. So I'm currently I work, I have a photography business. I'm set up to have a photography business, and part of that is, I think I mentioned before, working within education of like local high schools. And one of the local high schools asked me if I would come and join their GCSE photography classes as like an instructor or a technician, or I think my official title according to my badge is, where is it? Yeah, photography technician. So basically that means helping out the GCSE kids with anything that they need, basically. So how to take slightly better pictures, how to use Photoshop, how to do this, how to do that. Basically getting them to use the manual mode on the cameras that they already have, which is cool. But that does mean that I'm out of the house an awful lot, especially as I have another job and I have three kids and a family, and I'm not going to moan about it because it's a great life. But it does mean I've had very little time recently for photography, and particularly this podcast. Also means that, and I'll freely admit this now, that there are several commitments that I've made to people in the, what's the term, in not in the industry, in the community, that I feel bad about, that I haven't been able to keep. But one of those, I'm going to rectify that this evening. So I'm going to do for you a very short, probably, because I'm not prepared, because I'm like that, very short camera review about a camera that a very kind chap sent me ages ago to have a play with, and just generally let him know, give him a review, spread a little bit of nice word if I like it, and what have you. So that camera is the 24 squared pinhole camera that Graham Young from the Homemade Camera Podcast, one third of an hour of the Homemade Camera Podcast, sent me to test, to demo. And that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to you about today. So it's not going to be long because it's not a complicated camera, but I'll go straight out and immediately tell you that I absolutely love this thing. I would honestly tell you if I didn't, but I really do. So if you're not familiar with the 24 squared, it's a 3D printed, because that's what Graham does, 35mm pinhole camera. Now, 35mm wouldn't be, well, isn't my and isn't a lot of people's first choice of film format for pinhole cameras. I'm not going to get into why. That's people's opinion as to whether they like it or not. But need to say, this is a 35mm pinhole camera. So we'll just go from here. So the idea of it is, it's a cartridge to cartridge system. So that means it doesn't have a take-up spool or anything like that. You simply, so if you're familiar with bulk loading, when you load your 35mm canisters from your bulk roll of film, you literally tape your leader from an old can onto your new film, and that's exactly the same process that you do with this. So you line up your emulsions, or line up your emulsion from your fresh roll of film, tape that to the, like, is it called the leader, the back, the end leader, whatever it is, the last little bit of film that's left in your old canister, which becomes your take-up spool. You take them together so that they line up straight, and then you plonk them both into the camera. So it's just like a drop-in. They just both drop in the top, and there's a small slit through the middle that the film runs, like a little guide. And then you're ready to go. I will post pictures of this on the show's Facebook and Instagram, because I'm aware that this is audio only. That might be a little bit hard to follow. It's literally, that's probably the hardest part of using this camera. So you're taping the two rolls of film together, or the new roll of film and the old leader together, and putting them in the cartridge. It's a piece of cake, it really, really is. The top goes on, like that. You've got one knob on the top, which is your your film advance knob, which will lock in with the top of, on the top of your 35mm cartridge, which of course I haven't got one with me, but you'll know you'll have the little bit that sticks up that's got a hole in the top. So there's a part of the camera that locks into that that allows you to turn the film. A couple of little turns and you're ready to go. So Graham very kindly, I think with all of the ones that he sells them preloaded with a roll of film. So when you get it in the post, you're ready to go straight away. This one came, I believe, loaded with a roll of Fuji C200. Something along those lines. Sorry about that. Where were we? That old, age-old podcasting recording problem of you're talking away to yourself and you thought you heard one of the children crying out who are asleep. Don't know if they were, but they're certainly not now. So where were we? 24 squared. What was I saying? Oh yeah, came loaded with, I think, a roll of Fuji C200 or whatever it's called, one of the consumer Fuji films. Which I'm not gonna lie, I don't really shoot color film anymore. So that came straight out, went in the fridge, and I'll pass it on to someone else at some point. And I think straight in went a roll of AHP5. That's a good film to test with, isn't it? So what do we got here? So the whole thing, without the film in it, whole thing weighs next to nothing. It weighs 149 grams, according to my kitchen scale. It's because it's not that much bigger than, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Like, you know those printed film holders, like the JCH Street Pan film holders? It's kind of not dissimilar in size to that, really. Just taking it apart now. So if you imagine one of those for, that will hold two rolls of 35mm film. It's not really that much bigger than them. Probably about a third bigger again. So it also comes with what Graham deems as an optional grip, which is, if you've seen a picture of them, that's the main coloured accented bit of the camera. So it does provide something a bit more robust to hold on to if you're into shooting your pinholes handheld, which I have done on several occasions. Sorry about the noise. That's 3D printed plastic grounded together. So it comes with a grip so you can hand hold it, and it's literally as simple as winding on your half a turn and opening the shutter, removing the cap. So what Graham's done here is fairly ingenious and I really like it. So where are we? According to the instructions, so every model, as far as I'm aware, my models, shipped with a set of instructions. And so I can tell you on here that it's supplied with a 0.10mm pinhole in a removable lens board. And that, when you sort of pop that in, it equates to, I think it says a 20mm focal distance. And so that equates to about an f-stop of about 180. Maybe, yeah, sorry, 25mm, where are we? Should have probably read this first. An f-stop of about f/1.80 and a focal length equivalent of about 25mm on a full frame 35. So it's really, really wide what it can actually see. First thing that's really clever is you can remove that lens board. It's pressure fitted into the body. So it, look at that. That noise was actually Graham contacting me through Instagram. I'll get back to him later. That pinhole and the board that it is recessed into can be removed. That's a very, very tight pressure fit into the actual body. But you can take that out and swap it out with a second board that he supplied, which converts it. That's a 42 millimeter lens board with a 0.15 millimeter pinhole, and that gives you an f-stop of about 253. And according to this, a field of view equivalent to 42 millimeters. So it's a little bit more telephoto. Obviously not very telephoto at all at 42 millimeter. A bit more sort of normal field of view. But I'll be honest, I have used that lens board, but I prefer my pinholes, particularly in 35 millimeter, to be sort of really wide angle. So I stick to the 25 millimeter pin board. There we go. So yeah, I've just lifted it out like that, and then it just pops straight back in again. You take that out, new one in. I think they only go in one way around, but I'm not gonna pop that one in because I seem to remember it being really hard to get out. So that's it. That just pressure fits back into the camera body. And on those boards, so the 25mm and the 42mm, there's two pretty damn strong magnets which hold on the lens cap. That's what you can just hear popping on, like snapping on with a magnet. So you set it up, and you either set it up on a tripod if you like. I use it with a tabletop tripod quite a bit. Haven't used it with a big full-size tripod. Seems a bit peculiar to use a camera that small with such a massive tripod. You set it up on there, and then as long as it's fairly steady, you can then just pull the magneted shutter cover off, make your exposure with an S, excuse me. And then when your exposure is finished, you don't even really need to put the shutter on. You can just hold it sort of vaguely near it, and the magnets are strong enough that it'll pull it out of your fingers and snap back on. One little modification that I did make to mine, Graham, if you're listening to this, is the lens cover will go on two ways. Excuse me. So if you look at it straight, and I'll post pictures of this later somewhere, there's a magnet on the top left and the top right of the lens board, and obviously a corresponding magnet, which would then, when you look at it, on the top right and bottom left of the shutter, the cover. Obviously, if you're 90 degrees out with that, it won't go on. So I just drew on a little arrow onto mine so that I know which way up it goes when I want to end the exposure. Didn't I say the best bit? Certainly not the best bit, but it's absolutely ingenious, Jack. Graham, you are a genius for this. So I've had this problem with homemade cameras that I've made before, particularly homemade like pinhole cameras, one-shot cameras, where you load them up either in the pitch black if they've got film in them, or under safe light, go to the dark room, load them all up, you've got one shot in there, you put it all back together, you go out to where you're going to take the shot, and the damn lid has come off, or it looks like it's come off a little bit, or the tape that you use to hold it on has lifted slightly and it looks like it's leaked, and you're really not sure. So what's he done to stop that? I mean, because the lid, I mean, you can hear this, that's quite an annoying noise actually. The lid that goes over the top of the onto the top of the camera is just simply pressure fit. There's no way to lock it. It's just, that's it, that's on. So what's he done? Ingeniously, he's into the 3D, I assume that this is not been put in afterwards, and that can't have been put in afterwards, into the design of the camera, he's left on the top and the bottom a little groove. And what's that groove for? I hear you ask. A rubber band. Great idea, Graham. Honestly, that's genius. So in that, and coincidentally enough, I had a rubber band, one of those sort of, well, they're about 6-7 mil wide rubber bands that you see postmen dropping on the driveway, that holds the mail together, and that goes absolutely perfectly around it. So I know that, yeah, you got really pull on that for that to come off. That isn't going to be opening up in my bag. Graham, that's ingenious. Love that. One thing that I would like to, it's not a moan, but just an observation, Graham. I realise that I'm not talking to you, Graham, but I'm talking to everybody. But Graham, this one is solely to you for if you make some more of these. In the bottom, it's really simple. There's a tripod mount. The tripod mount is simply a nut. I can never remember what size the threads are in them. But your standard, it goes onto any standard sort of modern tripod. Or tripod mount, that size nut, you know what I mean. But it's just one of those nuts, presumably from the local hardware store that is pressure fit again into a recess that's the right size for it. Pressure fit meaning it's simply pushed in, it's not fixed in any way. Now, Graham, I can't remember if I told you this, but the first time I used this was on, was on the way to the photography show in Birmingham back earlier on in the year, and I was doing one of my driving selfie pinholes. So the camera was mounted upside down to my suction rig on the windscreen of my car. Great, I hear you say. And the picture did eventually come out because I had to do it twice. You know why I had to do it twice? Because the nut fell out. Yes, it is pressure fit, but I don't think Graham was potentially thinking that some dickhead would be mounting his camera upside down. So, what did I do? Stopped at the supermarket, bought a tube of super glued the nut in. Job done. If you get a 24 squared, I'd advise you do the same, just in case you, like me, decide to mount your camera upside down. So, that's really about all there is to say, as I can't show you pictures over the air like this. I will post some pictures of the camera and of the bits that I've been talking about on the show's Instagram feed and on the show's Facebook page. Is that it? That is it, I think. As I think I mentioned, everyone that, well, I think everyone that he sends out comes with a full sheet of instructions and tips, and even gives you like basic sort of Sunny 16 type measurements. Okay, so just to wrap that up, sorry about all the cuts in this. I have had to just nip and check that the kids are all right. So if you notice the shady editing, that's what the reason being. So just finally, I'll point you in the direction of Graham and where you can hopefully get one of these fantastic little cameras. So Graham, as I mentioned earlier, is one third of the Homemade Camera podcast. So you can catch him. I assume it's all right to drop his email. He always drops it in his show. So he'll be graham@homemadecamera.com. Yeah, he'll be .com. He won't be .co.uk because he's in America. Graham@homemadecamera.com. Graham spelled the right way. G-R-A-H-A-M. And he's that on Graham Homemade Camera on Instagram as well. He sells his cameras and things through his Etsy shop, which is Frozen Photon Camera Co., all one word. And noticing right now that he hasn't got any of these 24 squared cameras on there for sale at the moment. But as I mentioned, he messaged while I was recording that last little segment, and it does say he's working on a few things, specifically some Holga masks for sale in a few weeks, and then he'll be putting some back up. So if you all harass, sorry, now I'm getting flaming text messages from other people as well. Go and harass Graham if you want one of these, or if you want to know more details about it, give him a contact. Contact him. Sorry, I'm not trying to type. I really should concentrate on the podcast. Go and harass Graham Young of the Frozen Photon Camera Co. if you want one of his cameras, and you really, really should. Cool. I think that's all I have to say about that. So I'm just going to take another break, and then I'll be back in a moment. Cheers. Okay, so just a couple of things just to add before I sign off for today. Let's not make it a terribly long show. I'd like to thank everybody that got in contact. So a long while back when I was making my work for my master's project, I put the work out on my website with a password and asked for feedback. I want to thank everybody that got in contact. There were some really, really nice compliments and thoughts and ideas about the work. I won't go into it all now because there was a lot, but it was all really, really helpful. And help make the work what it was. The work's still ongoing. It's still not quite finished yet, even though I have finished my master's. That project will keep going for a while because I'm still not entirely happy with it. And I'm hopefully going to put a show on with it maybe next year and make a publication of some description of it as well. So that's it for that. And there was just one thing that I logged into the Soot and Whitewash email account earlier on today. I realized that it had kind of been, when I updated my iPhone, the Gmail app had been deleted, and I hadn't really noticed that it had gone. So a few emails have gone astray, including one from Mr. Michael Balin. Sorry, Michael. I can never remember how to pronounce your surname, but Michael is the guy, or at least one of the guys, behind Analog Forever magazine, and he sent a press release over, and this was back about a month ago, But I haven't heard anyone else, I don't think, mentioning this. So, not that I'm under any illusions that more people listen to this than anything else, but hey, I'm going to break some news, maybe. So, he sent over a press release for the Analog Forever magazine, a new semi-annual publication dedicated to analog photography. So, I'm not going to go into the full press release. You can find it all at Analog Forever magazine. But basically, Analog Forever, I believe, was an online or a digital magazine, at least digital, but focusing on analog photography. And they are now taking pre-orders for a print, their debut print publication, which is coming next month, November the 8th, apparently. And you can pre-order, you've been able to pre-order for the past month or so. And following the link on the website, you can still pre-order it. It looks like a fantastic magazine. It's got interviews in there, and they highlight other artists, a couple, including Mads Madison, John F. Cooper, Blue Mitchell, Niels Carlsen. Go and have a look at Analog Forever magazine for more information. I'm not just going to simply read out their press release. You can read that on their site. Yeah, was that what I wanted to say on that? Yeah, head over to Analog Forever magazine, analogforevermagazine.com. That's analog spelled the wrong way, or the American way, analog, forevermagazine.com. And at the top of their website, there's a big old banner saying about come and pre-order here. So that's all there. And how much is it? $25, which is what? Just over £20 if you're in the UK. I'm sure you can do the conversions if you're in any other countries. So yeah, that's done that. Go and have a look at analogforevermagazine.com. It looks like a really top polished magazine, actually. I'm going to have a look at that, potentially pre-ordering that myself. Right, cool. And as usual, I've started to waffle, so that means it's time to end the show. Nothing else to report today. So I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show. You can find the show on Instagram, Soot and Whitewash, and there is a Facebook page as well. Just have a look for Soot and Whitewash on Facebook. You can contact the show if you like at sootandwhitewash@gmail.com, and you can see my work on Instagram, Neil_Piper. I'd like to thank Kevin MacLeod for the music that I've been using at the beginning and the end of each show. And if that's it, which I think it is, I shall talk to you all again soon. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.